When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Joe with the Cotton Club crew coming to you from the heartbeat of the 806 in Lubbock, Texas, in your Texas Tech Red Raiders. I am joined tonight with two of my friends from the Cotton Club crew as well, Mr. Kendall Phipps and Mr. Jack Bell. They are going to join me on this NCAA tournament preview for our Texas Tech Red Raiders as they head to Pittsburgh as a 6 seed to take on the 11 seed surprising ACC champion NC State Wolfpack. We're going to dive into what Texas Tech needs to do. We're going to dive into what North Carolina State brings to the table. There's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team that we're going to be facing. All year long, they were kind of on the cusp of just barely making it to the NIT. Then they run off 5 wins in a row in the ACC tournament as an 11 seed. And boom, they steal a bid, come in at an 11 seed in the South. So, gentlemen, it's been a while since we've all talked on a pod. How are you guys feeling? Kendall, I'm going to go to you first since it's been a while since you've been on a pod with us. How are you feeling with Texas Tech sitting at a 6 seed going into the tournament?
I was really happy with the seed that Tech got and the draw. I felt that Tech could have been a little closer to the 5 line just based off of our resume compared to the likes of some of the teams that might have been ahead of us a little bit. But ultimately, I think Tech got put in a really good situation, especially starting with this 6-11 matchup. I really like the matchup against NC State. I think it's kind of a mismatch for them. I think when it comes to just positions 1 through 5, I think Tech stacks up really well against them. But overall in this South region, any region with teams like Houston in it isn't going to be easy. But I think we can look at it and feel pretty optimistic. And that's all you can really ask for in March.
Going into March, you know, obviously we're at the one game at a time mentality. There's no tomorrow. There's just what's in front of you. So with this Texas Tech team rolling in to the NCAA tournament, I believe 4-1 out of their last 5 games, playing some pretty solid offensive ball. Let's first jump into what Texas Tech needs to do to be successful in game 1 of the NCAA tournament. Jack, I'm going to come to you, my man. What are your big keys to the game for this Texas Tech squad to be successful against NC State on Thursday?
I'm a big believer in the KISS method, or as those would like to say, the keep it simple, stupid method. I think that I'm just going to kind of lay down and it's not really a whole like laundry list of things. It's just some basics. They need to rebound the ball really well. And I think we just need to play our game. My main focus is on the rebounding. You know, we've talked about this game a little bit, and Tech typically plays well against teams that don't do certain things well. And luckily enough for Tech, the first two teams that are potentially in our pathway don't particularly do the things well that we play well against. So, you know, it's a positive, but at the same time, my main key for this is going to be rebounding. I'm very interested to see what we get down in the post presence. Not necessarily along the lines of, you know, what we see, but more along the lines of who we have playing. You know, who's going to be down there? How many minutes that is? Are we fully healthy? I can almost guarantee the answer is no. I mean, who is fully healthy at this point in time going through? But at the same time, you know, how healthy have we gotten in the post? How good does Warren Washington look after taking, you know, the last couple of weeks off? Is Darian Williams, you know, high ankle sprain healing properly? You know, we all saw him in a boot. You know, is that actually helping? We'll see. You know, is he able to go 100% in the game, or is he able to go 80 at least? You know, it's just stuff like that, that, you know, not necessarily keys to the game, but just minor things that I'm taking a look at for this one.
Jump into that, Kendall. Texas Tech has been hit with the injury bug, some a little bit longer than the others. Warren Washington being the biggest one, being out, going on, I think it is day 26 or 27 right now since that game at Central Florida, where he did try to play after coming off of the foot injury when he was just shut down. And then we haven't seen him back on the court since then. And then more recently, the Darian Williams injury in the Big 12 tournament against BYU. How big would you say? Obviously, this is the first game of the NCAA tournament. There's kind of this perception that, you know, this is usually the higher seed usually wins this game. How big is it that you have at least one or the other suit up on Thursday for us to be successful in game one?
I think obviously it's extremely important to have at least one of them. Ideally, you want both, but the thing that hurts with Darian going down when he did is this team really learned. They finally learned how to play without Warren Washington. It took them a couple games within him going down to really learn how to play without him. Like, we were getting killed on the boards consistently after he went down, but really starting at the Oklahoma State game, I felt like we were just crashing the boards nonstop. And that continued Baylor. We were destroying them on the boards. And then BYU, a team that absolutely killed us in Lubbock on the boards, we really kind of stepped on their throats in Kansas City and started just stealing the ball and getting bored consistently. And then you see Darian go down, who was a vital part in us finally figuring out the rebounding side of the ball. So obviously there's going to be a lot of question marks. It sounds like we're probably getting Warren back, in the very least in some capacity, but Darian is still a big question mark. And this is this is what I really hate about the college game, just in general. It happens like in all college sports, where it's not like professional, where we don't really get a whole lot of updates on injuries. There's not like a weekly injury report that we can follow, to see any sort of recovery. So it kind of sucks we can't talk more about what the extent is. But right now, we got to hope that we can have both of them in some capacity for this run. But at the very least, getting one of them back, I'd have to think the most likely option at this point for that would be Warren Washington for these first couple games. But like I said, I think Darian, the good thing for if we are without him is we have a little more depth when it comes to a wing position. We have some guys that can kind of move around from the one to the four spot. We don't have many guys that can fill in at that true five. So I think we can kind of adapt a little better to not having Darian, but it's still, no matter what, if we are to have be without one of them, it would still be a huge gut punch to the start of this run.
Yeah. I mean, we've been dealing with this all year. So we lost Devin Cambridge earlier in the year, had to make the adjustments, had to adapt, had to bring guys in to the rotation that necessarily probably weren't going to be there at the start of the season when we all kicked all of this stuff off. We surprised some folks. We get in a rhythm. We're good. Then we have the Warren Washington issue, you know, along the lines with the whole flu bug that went through this program. And, you know, it's adaption. You know, it's how do you adapt to missing pieces? Then you were out with Warren for a while there. We adapt. We get the game changed. We have some new faces come in, make some noise. And that one being in true freshman, EY, he's just been contributing much more since, you know, the Darian Williams injury and the Warren Washington injury. I mean, he's just playing his game. If anybody's watched his games from whenever he first started getting thrown into the mix to now, it is a night and day difference. Very smart kid, very coachable kid, you know, a non-ego kind of guy. He's just wanting to learn, and he's been a sponge just soaking it all in. And you could see the progression, and you could see why Texas Tech offered this kid out of high school with Coach McCaslin and company coming in to take over after the Mark Adams termination. So these things is just all about adaptation. You know, this is how we respond with certain injuries. I still think that you need to have, if you're going to make a deep run, you got to have at least both of them, at least 80%. Game one, to your point, Kendall, I think as long as you have one or the other, I think you could adapt with the players that have actually shown promise in some of these meaningful games in the Big 12 tournament. Later on in the season, as the Big 12 conference was ending, you feel a little bit more comfortable where you stand at right now. So, Jack, I'm just going to throw it to you next, my man. Besides Darian Williams, Warren Washington, who is going to be the most important player for this Texas Tech offense and or defense going against NC State on Thursday evening?
I could go a couple. I could go a couple different ways with this. I could be the obvious person in the room and say Pop Isaacs, which I do think he's going to be important. You know, I could say, you know, EY coming off the bench is going to be super important. I could say Kerwin Walton and his shooting is going to be a huge, is going to be a huge portion of this game, which I think it will be. My big name for this game is going to be Robert Jennings. We've seen him grow a lot this year, and we've seen him make some huge strides in his game. I'm really interested to see how he gets down there and battles with the big bodies of Burns and their other posts down there. I'm just super interested to see, you know, how his game translates onto the tournament, onto the tournament, you know, setting there. These are games at neutral sites. They start at weird ass times. I think our game Thursday starts at like 9:40 local time. That's a late game. They're not normal stuff. So this is something definitely to get, you know, acclimated with times, you know, and obviously there are other teams playing games at like 10 in the morning. This stuff is all over the place, right? So for me, it's going to be Robert Jennings. I'm interested to see how he gets down there and battles, and I'm hoping for some good stuff.
Yeah, Robert Jennings, hell of a player. He has shown progress, has shown growth. There's been some games there where, you know, the head scratching, where he's not being able to finish at the rim kind of plays that, you know, you would hope a player of his caliber would be making. But, you know, he's shown progress. He's grown. He is going to be a problem in the next couple of years. He's just getting better, getting started. And with competition, with EY kind of like on his heels as far as playing time goes, it's just kind of their game elevates game. You know, you're a starter right now, and you know you have somebody coming at your heels. That makes you have to take your game to the next level, and I see that happening. So he's going to be a huge, huge piece to this game on Thursday. Kendall, I'm going to finish off with you on the Texas Tech side. You are given the clipboard. You are given the reins to run this Texas Tech offense, defense. You are the new Grant McCaslin.
This is dangerous. This is dangerous.
This is where we're at right now. How do you attack this NC State Wolfpack team?
Well, I think the main thing that I noticed here with this team in the last, like, I'd say 2-3 weeks, ever since that Texas loss, really, I think we've been so aggressive defensively that it has made teams uncomfortable. I can't speak for you guys, but I don't think there was a moment up until March that I got up off my feet just watching this team defend like I have in years past with Texas Tech teams. But there were multiple times in that BYU game and in that Baylor game that I was just in awe of this team's defense, that it wasn't even a team that resembled what we saw earlier this season. And that's going to be what's important for this run, is can that team show up? Can that team defend? And we need them to be just as aggressive as they were in that BYU game, in that Baylor game. And offensively, the main thing that I want to see from namely Joe and Pop is please just do not settle. We saw a lot better shot selection from them in these last couple games. Obviously, I'm kind of throwing out the Houston game because, you know, without Darian, I just kind of saw that game as a get the hell out of KC. But looking at the BYU and Baylor game, what was so noticeable, especially from Pop, he waited for shots to come to him almost. He took two dribbles and got to the rim just seamlessly. So what I would just like to see overall from our guards is don't force things. Make sure we're getting to the paint like we have been, getting one foot in the paint. It's what every coach will always tell you, is get one foot in the paint on every single possession. That's the most important thing. When I think our worst possessions consistently this year have been when we've just made one pass and a shot up. Just moving the ball, getting a foot in the paint. I probably sound like a grumpy old ass man when I say that, but that's just what wins in March, is getting to the paint and dominating the paint. So I'd like to see us play inside out like we have been recently, finding good shots on the perimeter for our shooters, for Kerwin, for Chance. But obviously, our first look always needs to be getting to that rim, because that's where this team thrives to me. And especially if we're playing a little undersized still, even if Warren Washington is playing, I can't imagine he's going to be at full 100%. So, you know, we need to keep attacking the way we have been, so he doesn't feel as much of the weight of needing to be that paint beast, because we have other guys that can take the load for him and really also attack the rim. And, you know, I don't think there's much else I would change. I think that BYU game was a perfect blueprint for this run. That BYU game, we were dominant defensively, we were dominant offensively. You can't really ask for much more. But the main thing, and I think I've damn near ripped my hair out about this, is we cannot let up those runs, those 15 plus point runs that have seemingly killed us consistently. In March, those are obviously what they call kill shots, and we've been lasting them all year, but we can't mess around and get to one game where we think we can survive that shot. When it's just a team like NC State, a team like Kentucky, if they get hot, that shot can put you down. It can be a little too much to overcome. So avoiding those runs, being aggressive on both sides of the ball, that's the blueprint for success in March. And I really think that's what this team's been doing the last couple weeks. So just really continuing that level of play. I think we've been playing like a top 15 team in the nation since we got to the month of March. So, just keep moving forward, keep that level of play, and I think we can go really far in this tournament.
Yeah, all about being aggressive, all about making the other team uncomfortable, all about drawing fouls, because, you know, we are a terrific free throw shooting team. We get to the rim, some of those guys, Robert Jennings has been all of a sudden knocking down free throws. EY has been knocking down free throws when he gets there. McMillan, Toussaint, Pop, Kerwin, Darian, all these other guys have been consistently good at the charity stripe. So we'll get into the aggressiveness a little bit right here, as far as us being aggressive and, you know, getting some guys into foul trouble as we jump into the NC State offense, defense, some of their players, because they do have this behemoth of a human being at 6'9", 275, DJ Burns, offensive tackle, running you know, back and forth with the court, and being aggressive is going to be one of these keys to getting to the rim and being successful in this game, because they're, we don't know who we're going to have the call it for a spade for a spade. We don't know who's going to run out on the court on Thursday night. So whatever matchups, whatever lineups we run out there, getting to the rim, being aggressive is going to be a key to this game, because we're going to need to get that, that guy out of the game or make him a non-factor to where they have to play smaller themselves and they can't keep him out on the court. So Jack, going to you on the NC State side, you have DJ Burns and DJ Horn. DJ Horn went off against North Carolina, 30 points, a game that they needed to win to secure themselves a spot in the NCAA tournament. Out of those two guys, DJ Horn, DJ Burns, who are you more concerned with and why?
I think it's just from what we said, right? So I got to pick Burns on this. We know what guards we're getting out there on the floor. We don't know what we're getting in the post. So for me, it's got to be Burns. He's a big boy down there. So you're talking about a guy who, you know, even though he's a post down there, he's started 35 of 36 games for him. He only averages, weirdly enough, roughly just a hair over, you know, 20 minutes a game. So definitely some stamina stuff there for him. Not the greatest from the free throw line, shooting a clip or I think around 66, 67%. So not the best down there at the free throw line. But you're talking about a guy who has the second most shot attempts on this team. And, you know, he shoots a high clip from, you know, obviously around the basket. He's over 50% on the year for, you know, from the field. So this is a guy that, that worries me, not just for his size, but, you know, their ability to scheme up plays for, to get him open down on the block. And, you know, if he starts pushing it down and we start getting in foul trouble, especially with, you know, we are thin at the post. There's no, that's not a secret to anyone. But if we start getting into foul trouble down there on the block, then, you know, I think all bets are off and it's kind of just, you know, every man for himself. The one thing I will say about this Tech team, though, that I have been super impressed with in year one of this, of the McCasland era, would be the fact that this team finds out how to win games. There are definitely, I know multiple times when, you know, we've been watching games that we've come out on top and we say, you know, how we were talking afterwards, the three of us, and we were saying, you know, how the hell did we win that? And it's a good problem to have. So I'm not necessarily concerned. I'm just interested to see how we combat him down low. And, just again, I'm interested to see what we get in terms of run down there on the post and who we got going.
Staying on that NC State Wolfpack there, Kendall, what are some other names on players other than DJ Horn, DJ Burns, players that could be problems, players that could be problems, players we need to keep an eye on, that we need to follow around, we can't leave open, they could hurt us from deep, or they could take it to the hole. Looking at this roster for NC State, who's another guy that the Red Raider fans should keep an eye on?
I'm actually going to kind of give you a almost like a coach speak type of answer, but it's really true with this NC State team from what I've noticed. If they play like they did in the tournament, there's really not a set guy that when it comes to their perimeter players that you want to leave open, because they will all shoot. Everyone in their starting lineup will, and that includes Burns and Horn, they will shoot. And that's what kind of made them dangerous in the ACC tournament. And that could be what takes them far in the NCAA tournament. And it could be also what bounces them in round one of the NCAA tournament, is that they all will shoot. They aren't super reliant, on the three, and they play a very similar style to Tech when it comes to offense. They like to get a foot in the paint, whether that be getting the ball to one of their big men or getting the ball back out. But, Casey Marcel, he's not obviously an elite guard. by any means, but he's a really experienced guard, averaged almost 12 a game. And he was really a big part of their game plan for that entire NC or ACC tournament. You know, obviously you talked about Horn, but Horn is a guy that, to me, you have to have someone know where he's at all times. Averaging 17 a game, he can really score at all three levels. He's going to be the guy I'm most concerned about. I don't necessarily know who Tech will have guarding him because he's kind of a weird matchup. But he's the guy that those are the two guys. You know, you said Horn and Burns. They're going to take a majority of their shots. They both will probably get double digit shots, but the surrounding cast to them, you know, they will shoot consistently. There's not, like I said, there's not a guy you can leave open. But I also, I've talked about it already, but it's like they live and die kind of by that, the fact that everyone will shoot. I think that if Burns or Horn, one of the two, doesn't get going, I find that they will be in trouble more times than not, because they really don't have another option that can take over a game like those two can. You know, like we would say that Tech probably has three, or when we're fully healthy, Tech probably has three, four, maybe even five guys that we can really look at, and they can get us 20. I would say with Pop, Joe, Darian, Warren Washington, and Chance right there, I think those are five guys that can take over a game when we need it. I just don't think NC State has that in compared to Tech. But, you know, if they prove me wrong, good on them. But I just haven't seen that to this point, because we were talking about this before we started recording this. The NC State team we saw last week, that's not the team that was playing this entire season. It's hard to judge what team we're going to see, because are we going to get the team that went 17-14 and finished 11th in the ACC in a bad ACC? Or are we going to get the team that just reeled off five straight wins and made it look relatively easy? That's what makes March so great, but it's also the part that makes it so hard to predict. But you know, I like where we're at against this team. I think we match up really well, but like I said, people got to step up, and I'm really excited to see who it is for both sides.
You said it. Which team are we going to get? Which there's two different NCAA or NC State teams that we've seen the last five in comparison to what they did in the actual ACC, just overall, you know, which team are you going to get? I mean, they have a fairly slim rotation. It's at seven guys. I only think six of them, such as like Texas Tech, they only get, you know, 20 plus minutes a game. You get those guys into foul trouble being aggressive, you know, this could change the entire landscape of the game. You start knocking down threes where they're forced to remove Burns from the lineup altogether and just make him a completely non-factor, and then, you know, you make your adjustments. That's what this Texas Tech team has done so well over the course of the year. At the start of the game, mostly at halftime, making some of these adjustments, coming back from a couple of games where they were down double digits and coming back and winning the basketball game. This Texas Tech team is just resilient. They find a way to do it. Even though they have players that could just go and get it for their own, they haven't necessarily been led by one guy or another consistently. There's been guys that have played consistently, but there hasn't been one guy that has just been, it's Pop all the time and then everybody else, or Joe all the time and everybody else. Everybody's had their shot and had the chance of, you know, having the most points in the game, being the most crucial player on the team. And that's how this Texas Tech team operates. And I just don't think that NC State, just given the body of work all year, including the ACC tournament, and that's no disrespect to what they were able to accomplish, because what they did, 5 days, five games against some pretty stout competition on the back end with Duke and North Carolina, and you're coming out with W's there, especially when Carolina was trying to, at the time, secure a number one seed, which we all know now they got it regardless of the loss to NC State, but they were trying to secure that one seed, and they figured that they needed to win the ACC tournament to do so, and NC State just closed the door on them. So that just, you know, it just depends on what team you get. It's March. They call it March Madness for a reason, as Kendall alluded to. And we'll just kind of see exactly what happens come Thursday night. It's going to be a loud, ruckus crowd, I would assume, in Pittsburgh. I don't know how well NC State travels. I don't know exactly what the Tech faithful will be like in Pittsburgh. But bigger goal is obviously to try to make it into Dallas, you know, where the heart of the Texas Tech Red Raiders are based out of. So just to touch more back, one more thing, guys, on the NC State basketball team. What, other than the size with DJ Burns, is that going to be like the only major concern that if we can't keep him handled or round up, that this will be the key to the game for them? Or do you think that they have some other alternative coming towards or coming at Texas Tech? Jack, I'm going to go to you first on this one. Do you think it's going to be solely around Burns, or do you think this offense is going to do something a little bit different come Thursday when they play Texas Tech?
My sole concern is the post. With the way this team, Tech team has been playing defense over the past month, like Kendall alluded to, you know, the post is my main concern. Our defense has just grown exponentially over the last 19 days. And so, I don't have any issues, other than the post, really. Like I said, if we keep playing defense the way we have and the way we've grown over the past, you know, 19 days to a month, the post is my only concern.
Kendall, what are your thoughts on that? You thinking same thing that Jack is, post play, that we shut them down there, this game is going to be in the bag?
Yeah, I obviously think that's the main focus right now is shutting down the post. I don't want to disregard a player the caliber of Horn, because DJ Horn, he's an all ECC player, but when it comes to guard play, I think Tech has the right combinations when it comes to Pop, Joe, Chance, and Kerwin to be able to kind of neutralize that. So yeah, like Jack said, the post is going to be the main point of concern. Just, can we keep them away from the paint, and can we kind of force them out to the perimeter? But if we can do that, I think we're going to be getting ready for a nice round of 32 matchup.
And that brings us to the end of this podcast with one final question for both of you guys. Calling your shot. First NCAA tournament game of the Grant McCaslin era. First time we see NC State this year. I don't know what the overall record is historically between these two teams. They got us last year in football in Raleigh. We get them back in basketball this year in Pittsburgh for the first game of the NCAA tournament for us. Kendall, going to you first. Call your shot. Who you like in this game? What's your score, my man?
Give me Tech, 83-69.
First one to 69 always wins. You always win with 69. Take that however you want to, but that's just a number that everybody kind of shoots for first. Jack, up to you, my man. Call your shot. Texas Tech, NC State, in Pittsburgh. Who you got?
I got Tech winning this one. Not quite as high scoring for the Red Raiders, but I have the defense keeping them to a lower clip there. I got Tech winning this about 72-59.
You heard it here, folks. Kendall, Jack, myself included, I'll throw my prediction in there. I think the way that this Texas Tech defense has been playing over the last course of the last five games, with the exception to Houston, with the Darian Williams injury, Warren Washington not being available, I put that game as an asterisk. We did play pretty well there on and off in the first half. In the second half, you know, we'll just not talk about the second half there. I just think that the way that this team has collectively played over the last month of basketball or so, maybe last 5 weeks plus, this team has just taken it to a different level as far as intensity goes. They're up in your face. They are playing tough. I don't know what sparked the change, but I have loved every single minute of watching this basketball team grow from day one to where they stand at right now, given the Devin Cambridge injury, given the other injuries that we've gone through this year. I love where this team is at. The mentality's right. Coach McCaslin and company have this team locked in, and I think this is just a game that I think this is where NC State's, you know, run ends. They got the five in the ACC tournament. Congratulations on that. That's a big task and big ask for five games, five straight. It's tough, but I think it ends in Pittsburgh for them. Final score, Texas Tech 74, NC State 60. I think the Red Raiders just have a little bit too much more. They have three-point shooting that NC State doesn't ultimately make. We pull away. They just don't have enough firepower from beyond the arc to keep up in this one. Red Raiders onto the field of 32. So another thing just want to touch with you guys on, we have our NCAA tournament bracket challenge going out. Sponsored by Wrecked Burgers and Brews. They have been kind enough to throw us a barbecue pack, a Yeti cooler, barbecue supplies, and that's including a spatula, salt and pepper shakers. If you're local here in the Lubbock area, that will include the actual food itself, their Wrecked sauce, the meat, cheese, lettuce, everything to get you prepped for a tailgate come football season, or hell, anytime you wanted to have a cookout at your house. Now, all the winner that's out, either two club tickets to any remaining baseball game this year, and or two tickets to any conference football game this upcoming year. Seven home games this year, so you could just take your pick there. Had those donated by a friend of mine, so we got those tickets secured. And then non-Lubbock residents, if you happen to win this contest, you get the Yeti, you get the barbecue supplies, but given the laws and how you could ship food, we cannot put the food in there. You'll get a nice gift card from Wrecked Burgers and Brews to get you some nice food there when you're in the Lubbock area. But we're also going to fill the rest of that cooler up with Texas Tech merchandise. Hoodies, shirts, cups, another Yeti cup, a Texas Tech one, and then the ticket option is still out on the board there. So if you haven't entered, it is free to enter. Go to our Facebook. I think it's out on there. I'm not exactly sure, guys. Do you know if that one got put out on Facebook yet or not today?
I don't know. Do we have a Facebook?
Oh.
I don't know. I'm unaware. I know they were going to post it in some of the groups, but I think we're still talking to Jacob Harris on that. So,
okay. If we haven't entered, go follow us on Twitter, CottonCC_FFSN. On our link, I have it on my personal Twitter. I know Kendall has it on his Twitter. Jack, have you put it on your Twitter yet?
I have the link to our Twitter page in my bio, and you can find it there. I believe it's a pinned post on the Twitter. I need to get on there and retweet that, so I'll take the my bad on that. But I've been falling behind on my Twitter duties lately. I've been kind of quiet on there. So, as I'm sure everyone's noticed, no outrageous takes or anything like that. So. Right. Yeah, the bio to our COD Club stuff is in my bio on Twitter. So if you guys follow me, go ahead and you can go click on that link in my bio there, and you can get to the link to enter the bracket challenge.
Yeah, great prizes. It's for a good cause. Wrecked, like I said, they donated this stuff to us, and you know it. I mean, who doesn't want a Yeti cooler? Who doesn't want barbecue supplies? who doesn't want a gift card to Rec whenever, if you're from Lubbock or coming to Lubbock for whatever reason, a good one of the best, if not the best burger in Lubbock, Texas. Like these are the things that are going to be in that cooler. So it's free to enter. Just throw your name in the hat. I think there's roughly around 60, 61 folks now entered in this competition. So the probability and the chances are high. I mean, you know, it's March Madness. Anything could happen. Just throw your name out there, make some picks, and see what happens, you know? So that's what we have going on right now as far as the Cotton Club Crew. That is the preview for game one of the NCAA tournament when your Texas Tech Raiders 6 seed take on your 11 seed NC State Wolfpack in Pittsburgh. Guys, it's been great. We'll see exactly what team shows up on Thursday for NC State. We'll see if Texas Tech is able to continue its streak with the aggressiveness and get into the basket, making things tough for opponents' offenses with our ferocious defense. And we'll see exactly what happens. Maybe we get into round two, jump in and start talking, you know, Texas Tech versus Kentucky. So I'm Joe with the Cotton Club Crew, also joined with Kendall and Jack. You guys have a good evening. Hope to talk to you soon about a Texas Tech W, and Rec 'em.